Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman.
Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast, Season 2, Episode 4. I had an email in my mailbox this week from a listener named Kenyatta. Forgive me if I've mispronounced your name. She was wondering about my definitions of autodidactic, polymath, and self-learner. So I thought I'd expand a little bit on these terms this week and how I tend to use them. She also asked why I asked for donation. Well, that's a quick and easy one to answer. I don't have any corporate sponsorship, and I pay for the podcast hosting and things myself, so the donation is just that someone liked the show and wanted to show their appreciation by buying me a coffee. But back to Kenyatta's musings. I'll give you the dictionary definitions and then talk a little bit more about each one. So, a self-learner is learning done by oneself without a teacher or instructor. Polymath is a person of great learning in several fields of study. Autodidactic is a person who has learned a subject without the benefit of a teacher or formal education, e.g. a self-taught person. So you can see that self-learner and autodidactic are actually the same thing. It is someone who learns by themselves. And while this might mean they are learning one thing only, they could be learning in multiple fields. So an autodidactic may or may not be a polymath, and a polymath may or may not be autodidactic. In this podcast, I try to explore techniques and methods for self-learning, and hopefully this is of some use to either type of autodidactic, the polymath or non-polymath. But one assumption that I have a tendency to make is that many people who are listening to this podcast are more likely to be polymaths and trying to learn skills in multiple fields. Using myself as an example, I self-learn mathematics, electronics, programming, metalworking, knife making, cooking, and languages. And while I'm certainly no expert in all of these, I enjoy working in all of these disparate fields. As a writer, I find it helps to have a broad knowledge of topics in order to write characters convincingly. Autodidactism and self-learning we've covered, but let me explore polymathism with you. A polymath is from the Greek and means much learned. So this is a person who has knowledge in multiple fields of study but may not be self-taught. In the Renaissance, a period of Europe covering the 14th through the 17th centuries, which started in Italy in the late Middle Ages, the idea of uomo universale, or universal man, was someone who could play instruments, speak many languages, write poetry, paint, and so on. Normally, these ideal persons were nobility or sons of nobility and required a rounded universal education. Interestingly, the idea of universal education was essential to achieving polymath ability. Hence, the word university was used to describe a seat of learning. The idea behind a university was not to specialize, but to give a general well-rounded education to these young courtiers so that they could then go forth and specialize in a specific field. Marching forward to the 21st century, we find a renewed interest in polymath in the scientific community. Robert Root Bernstein worked in the area of polymathy and two other type categories, which were specialist and dilettante. He regards a specialist as someone who has great depth in a subject without a breadth of knowledge, and a dilettante as someone who has superficial knowledge of many subjects. However, the dilettante, unlike the polymath, has acquired these skills without any regard to understanding broader application or implications, and without integrating the knowledge across fields. So for Robert Root Bernstein, a polymath is someone who has knowledge in multiple fields, but can, quote, put a significant amount of time and effort into their avocation and find ways to use their multiple interests to inform their vocations. Robert Root Bernstein argues in favor of polymathy. The argument that the universality of domain favors the creative process, which means other interests outside the primary domain can feed the mental tools required to generate creative ideas, A prime example often cited is Albert Einstein and his love of the violin. Einstein once said if he hadn't been a scientist, he would most certainly have been a musician. In Life Stages of Creativity, Robert and Michelle Root Bernstein suggest 6 typographies of creative life stages. Type 1 represents people who specialize in the development of one major talent early in life, i.e. prodigies, and successfully exploit that talent exclusively for the rest of their lives. Type 2 individuals explore a range of different creative activities and then settle on exploiting one of these for the rest of their life. Type 3 people are polymathic from the outset and manage to juggle multiple careers simultaneously so that their creativity pattern is constantly varied. Type 4 creators are recognized early for one major talent, but go on to explore additional creative outlets, diversifying their productivity with age. Type 5 creators devote themselves serially to one creative field after another, and Type 6 people develop diversified creative skills early and then, like Type 5 individuals, explore these serially one at a time. So why has there been a decline in polymathy since the Middle Ages? Well, Peter Burke, Professor Emeritus of Cultural History and a Fellow of Emmanuel College at Cambridge, believes that due to the rapid increase of knowledge from the 17th century onwards, it was increasingly difficult for an individual to master as many disciplines as before. Professor Burke warns that in the age of specialization, polymathic people are more necessary than ever. Michael Araki is a professor in Brazil who sought to formalize the polymathic development. Professor Araki's work shows that there are many different perspectives and definitions of a polymath, but they generally assert 3 elements, which are breadth, depth, and integration. Breadth means a comprehensive knowledge of the subject rather than narrow specialization. This is the primary indicator of a polymath. Depth refers to the accumulation of knowledge as opposed to the dilettante's superficial knowledge. And finally, there is the integration, which requires connecting, articulating, and synthesizing knowledge from different frameworks. So how do I use these terms? Well, I'm assuming that you wouldn't listen to this podcast unless you are a self-learner or my mother. I also make the assumption that my listeners are studying multiple fields of study. But even if you aren't a polymath, I need to make my podcast relevant to a person studying biology as it is to a person studying avionics, just because of a diversity in listeners. Also, I think that people who are willing to put in the effort to self-learn or to be autodidactic will naturally want to study and understand more than one topic. Autodidactism is simply education without the guidance of subject matter experts such as teachers or professors. In addition, an autodidactic has chosen the topic themselves and might be trying to self-learning for the first time. When you need to select your own study material, create your own study plans, and find time for yourself, it's useful to know that you're not alone and that many people have trodden this path before. There is a well-worn path, you just need someone to point it out to you. It might be, as an autodidactic, you're studying independently as a complement or an alternative to a formal education. For example, learning how to program a computer could be a skill which is complementary to your work that you're already doing. In this pandemic, lots of people are using their newly acquired spare time to learn other topics that they have an interest in. A 2016 Stack Overflow poll reported that 69.1% of software developers appear to be self-taught, and I suspect in the current climate, these numbers will only increase. Well, that's it for this week. It was a bit shorter than normal, but hopefully enjoyable. Next week, I plan to return to the investigation of an autodidactic and try and ascertain their methods and adopt them for our use. If you enjoy the show, please give it a rating on whatever platform you're using to listen, and please share the podcast with friends and family who might be interested. Also, please feel free to email me, like Kenyatta did, to rick@autodidactic.info, or leave feedback on the website autodidactic.info. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving a donation via PayPal. Thank you very much, and see you again next time.